Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zion. Amr Meir says a Meir. Midivayim from the words of Rabbi Chanina, the Sagano Kahanim, the Vice Kohen, and Rabbi Akiva, that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that you could take two pieces of meat that are both Tamei on various levels and burn them together, even though when one touches the other, it'll raise the level of Tumah, because one could be on a high level, one could be on a low level, and it'll raise the level of Tumah. We say it's not a problem. So says Rabbi Meir, we see from there, Lamanu we learn, Shesofen Shuma Tahora Imatameh B'Pesach. Erev Pesach, you can't eat chametz, right? We said it's only a rabbinic restriction. But despite the fact, says Rabbi Meir, you could take truma, which is even tahar, and burn it with truma, which is tameh, And even though the tameh truma will make the tahar truma tameh now when you burn it, he says it's not a problem. Why? Because he says, look, if you have two pieces of kachim, one's on a high level, one's on a low level, you could burn them together in general, even though you're raising the low level to a higher level. So too, even if the meat was totally tahar, was pure, you could do the same thing. So Amar lo Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi responds right away, in hi amida, you can't compare the two. Over there, you know, they were both tameh, one on a high level, one on a low level. So yeah, the high level can touch the low level, it'll raise up the bar, but at the end of the day, they're both tameh. But your case is you've got truma which is totally pure. You can't burn truma which is totally pure with truma which is totally tamei in Erev Pesach, because you're going to make a tamei. So, and so this is their machlokas, and what they're arguing basically is the Gemara explains like this. We're talking about a case where the kachim, this meat, had to become tamei. It became tamei through, you had a dead rat, a sheretz, that touched a cup, for example. And then the cup touched the liquid. And the question is, the liquid in hand, does it have the power to make other foods tameh on a Torah level? Does it have the power to make other foods tameh only on a rabbinic level? Rabbi Meir says it can make things tameh only on a rabbinic level. And really, the meat would still be pure. And yet you find that you could burn this truma with totally tameh truma. And we don't care that there reason why it's tameh is only on a rabbinic level, and that on a Torah level it's really pure. So therefore, I'll say the same thing for burning chametz on Erev Pesach, that you could take truma tahara and burn with truma tameah. Whereas Rabbi Yosi says that no, when this liquid touches the kachim, right, it makes it actually tameh on a Torah level. So now you have two foods that are tameh on a Torah level. One could be a high, one could be a low. Granted, the high will raise the low, but at the end of the day, they're both tameh. Whereas it was actually tahar, right, and you have tummy food, then you can't burn the two of them together. So it comes out, there's two machlokasim over here. One is this liquid, when you have a dead rat, for example, touches a cup, and the cup touches the liquid, and liquid touches meat, does the meat become tummy on a Torah level or on a rabbinic level? Rabbi Meir says it'll become tummy on a rabbinic level, and Rabbi Yosi says it becomes tummy on a Torah level. And the second machlokas is that according to Rabbi Meir, he says, look, you find the concept of tumma on a Torah level being burnt together with tumma on a rabbinic level, and therefore the same thing would apply to truma on Erev Pesach when you're burning the chametz, the truma bread, so you can't eat it on Pesach. Rabbi Yosi will say, no, you can't do that, because in general, we can only take a light tumma with a heavy tumma and mix them together, you know, and burn them together, even though the light tumma will be raised its level to the heavy tumma, because they're both tumma in the same level. They're both Torah Dika tumma, or they're both rabbinic Dika tumma, right? Oh, here it's both Torah Dika tumma. But if you have something which is really on a Torah level, it's pure, only on a rabbinic level, it's tummy, and you want to burn that together with an item which is tummy on a Torah level, that's not going to work. So here you have two opinions, and basically the two machlokas in between a Meir and a Biosi. Moving along, Amodim Rabbi Yeshua both agree. So Rabbi Yosi is adding this. And he's saying that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would agree that even though Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they're going to argue by a suffix truma tumma, by truma, which is a suffix if it's tummy or not, we'll see in a second. They do agree, so surfen zula asma vizula asma, that you don't burn, shein surfen truma tahara ima tumea, you don't burn truma which is pure with truma which is defiled, tar truma with tamei truma, at the time of burning the chametz on Erev Pesach. Rather, you burn each one separately. Okay, so that works out well. So then alman nechuk, what do they argue on? Alatluya, on truma tumea, which is a suffix. This is what we just said. Truma, which is tamei only on a suffix. Viala tumea. So what happens if you have, they say if you have tamei truma and tar truma that you're burning Erev Pesach, you burn them separately. But what about if I have tamei truma and I have a suffix? Tamei Truma. So what's the din? So Rabbi Lezer says he sarv zulatva zulatva. Burn them separately also. That if this, you have Tuma which is a suffix and you have Tuma which is a vadai, which is for sure Tamei, burn them both separately. Rabbi Shua Omer Shtein Ka'achas. No, you can burn them both together. Because since he says, since the Tuma is only a suffix, people aren't so careful about it, and you can burn them all together. Whereas Rabbi Lezer will say that no, even though it's a suffix, people are careful with it, and if we should burn it separately. So both Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, Rabbi Yossi is adding that if you have Tamei Truma and Tara Truma, you burn them separately. But if you have Tamei Truma and Suffolk Tamei Truma, you're in doubt whether it's Tamei. Rabbi Eliezer would say that burn them both separately. And Rabbi Yeshua will say, no, you can burn them both together. Because Rabbi Yeshua will say, once the Trumas are a Suffolk Tuma, people aren't so careful with it, and therefore he permit for you to burn them both together. And that wraps up Perek Aleph. Moving right along to Parak Bay's Mishnah Aleph, Kol Shah Shemutu Lechel, there any time where it's permitted for one to eat chametz and have Pesach, machel behemoth, so then you can also feed your animals, lachai, your wild animals, obos, and your birds. And the Gemara explains that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Gamliel, that we mentioned earlier in Parak Aleph, Mishnah Hay, that chulin would be eaten, non-sacred food would be eaten during the fourth hour of the day, and truma, the sacred food by a kohen, would be eaten the fifth hour. And the Mishnah is going to teach us that as long as it's permitted for a kohen to eat his truma during the fifth hour, right? So it's permitted for Yisrael, right? Yisrael to feed his animals, the chulin, the chametz to his animals. Kolomah she'afa, but even though the Yisrael is not allowed to asakvar, he can't eat it. He has to stop eating at the fourth hour. But since it's permitted for the kohen to be eating it, then, right? He has to stop in the fifth hour. So now it's permitted for pleasure, meaning the Yisrael could feed it to his animals. And the Mishnah mentions animals because it's coming to teach you chidushim, meaning that even though for behemoth, domesticated animals, it's normal for it to leave over its food, and if it leaves over its food, you might forget to burn it. So still we say it's permitted. And a wild animal, even though normally he'll hide some of his food, right? Maybe you won't see it, you'll forget to burn it. No, we say it's still fine because we're not concerned you'll be forgetful about this, whether they left it over, whether they hide it. A domesticated animal leaves it, wild animal hides it. And then birds are really just thrown in agav, just, you know, because we mentioned chayin and behemoth, we throw in birds. But the idea is we're not concerned you'll forget about it, and you'll burn it along with the rest of the chametz. And the idea here is that as long as a kohen can still eat, you know, chametz, which is truma, a Yisrael can't eat his chametz, but he could have anah and feed it to his animals. And that's what we mentioned, that chulin is eaten during the fourth hour, truma is eaten during the fifth hour. So during the fifth hour, when the Yisrael can't eat his chametz, he can still feed it to his animals, because technically the kohen could be eating his truma then. Umochel anachri, you can sell to a guy. It's permitted for once to sell his chametz to a guy, as long as it's permitted by hana as well. Even though avim hu yodeish anachri, even if he knows that the guy will actually eat it on Pesach, because Mar explains that since Beis Shammai hold, a person shouldn't sell chametz to a guy unless he knows he'll eat it before Pesach. Because the idea is you have to get rid of it from the world. So Mishnah is coming to teach us that we don't pass like Beis Shammai. As long as you sell it to the guy, even if he doesn't eat it before Pesach, it's fine because it was sold to him. Mutar b'hana, so it's permitted b'hana. What does that mean? The Gemara explains that if you burnt the chametz in fire before the Zman of Iser, until it's bottled, its taste and its appearance, so then technically you could have enough from it even after the Zman of the Iser. Another point, Avar Zmana, what happens when the Zman of the Achila passes, which is the beginning of the sixth hour, Asr b'hanasa, you can't have any hana anymore. Even though Shemina Torah, Ein Chametz, the Chametz is not Asr b'hana, only from the sixth hour, El Metzchilas HaShivriyus, I'm sorry, from the seventh hour and onward, meaning right after Chatzos, the Chametz made a gezeira that's Asr b'hana from the beginning of the sixth hour, in order to distance a person from sin. And not only that, the Gemara says that this prohibition of hana, right, this is really offense. It's from the seventh hour and onward. But they say from the sixth hour, so you shouldn't come to the seventh hour. And it's so powerful that if you were to take this bread and go ahead and marry a woman with it, right, the marriage is not going to take effect. Because at the end of the day, the Chachamim said you can't have any hana from this. And even though it's only rabbinic, right, you wouldn't be able to make a wedding with this, to be kohen and isha with this, because it's still prohibited by hana. That's how powerful the Chachamim made this gezeira. You cannot burn with this chametz in the oven, or the two different types of ovens. Even according to Yehuda, that his opinion is that the only time way to burn chametz is by actually burning it. Still, it's prohibited to have any hana by lighting up your stoves or your ovens with it when you're doing the even though af kishumakayim b'derchzu mitzvahs biuri, even though it's during the actual mitzvah, you can't have any pleasure from it. And that's what it says right over here. Yehuda Omer ein biur chametz el sweifa. The only way to do biur chametz is by burning it. You can't just flush it down the toilet. You got to actually burn it. He learns that from Noser, that Noser, you can't leave it over. It's a lav, you can't leave it over, and you have to burn it also. So to chametz, you're not allowed to leave it over, and you have to burn it also. And Noser was the concept of leaving over kabanos. You can't leave over kabanos more than a day. So that's, it just applies the concept over here, that you got to burn the chametz and not leave it over at all. You could crumble it up, and throw it into the wind, or throw it into the sea. And the Gemara is machlokas and how to understand the Chachamim. Rabbah says that you could crumble it up, means you could crumble it up whether you throw it into the wind, you could crumble it up whether you throw it into the sea. As long as you crumble it, you have to crumble it first. And Rabbi Yosef says that you could crumble it and throw it into the wind, or just throw it into the sea without crumbling. I mean, the crumbling is not required in both scenarios. And that's the way Rabbi Yosef would learn the Chachamim. So two different opinions on how to understand the Chachamim. And that, they say over here that their argument in the Chachamim is only when you're throwing it into regular rivers. They argue whether crumbling is required prior to or not. But if you're going to actually throw it into the Yam HaMelech, the salty sea, everyone agrees you don't have to crumble it because the salt will actually eat up the chametz. And there they'll agree that you can just throw it in without crumbling, according to the Chachamim. And that concludes Mishnah Aleph.